This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What sin have 7,000 plus children done to be under the rubble? What have they done inside their lives? And it's not just soul of our soul that we find, it's many souls that are being lost. I don't know if I've ever grown up in my life. I don't know that. So their dreams are shattered. But the prime goal is to have righteous children.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing a journey of prophetic du'as, supplications used by the prophets in the various adversities or difficulties that some of them they faced in their life, or rather all of them faced certain trials and tribulations, and they fulfilled the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever those commandments were. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَتَمَّهُنَّ. Indeed, we tested Ibrahim alayhi salam with certain kalimat. Ulama of Tafasil Ibn Kathir mentioned bi al-awamir. Certain commandments were given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, he completed them. That is a way of all the prophets. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. And they become living examples for us Muslims even today, because the Quran is timeless. Because some of us, we think that the Quran is a certain time, a certain era, a certain people, a certain generation. It's timeless. At any moment in time, the Quran comes into play for every single human being. And that's the supplications of these prophets. They inspire us that these mini trials that we go through, because some of us, we think that we're going through some great trials. I'm talking about us personally, not some of the Muslim lands that are suffering and going through, but some of us, the average Muslim, we think our trials are so great, so grand. And we should turn to these supplications of these prophets. We spoke about Ayyub. Rabbi anni massani ad-dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Some affliction has afflicted me, come upon me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. You're the most forgiving, the most merciful one who shows compassion and mercy. And that same cluster of ayat, the Surah Al-Anbiya, speak about so many different prophets. And we spoke about Yunus alayhi salam. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. And we responded to him by making that dua. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And likewise, we rescue the believing individuals. That's what we're trying to instill within ourselves, that these supplications to rescue ourselves, the path of the prophets, the supplications that they make. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We're going to rescue the believers who make this supplication. Then it continues, وَزَكَرِيَّ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Zakaria made the supplication. He's barrenless. He doesn't have a child. Praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that give me one who's going to inherit from me the inheritance of nubuwa, of righteousness. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. And we responded to him. And we gifted him Yahya, we gave to him. And we rectified his wife by giving, making it to become, to carry Yahya. إِنَّمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. They were racing and doing good deeds. The family of Zakaria, all of them doing good deeds. That's why the good deeds of a believer in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuous. That's what many ulama speak about when Allah uses inside the Quran about supplications, is using the words Rabbi. No min at-tadarrur, of affliction, of harm, and being lowly in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lowly state. Lamma tuqaddim al-haja, when you present something you want from someone, you, as they say, you present in the best words, in the best presentation. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants in his presentation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanak. Wants to see those words flowing from our heart, not from our mouth, in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus these prophets become living embodiment examples for us inside our lives. That's what we look at today's dua that we're going to look at, is following that pattern of righteousness, of righteous children. Asking Allah, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Bestow upon us, gift us with righteous wives, righteous spouses, righteous children. Make them to become the coolness of our eyes. And as we remain with this verse inside Surah Al-Furqan, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice speaks about the nature of the prophets. It's mentioned inside there, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Why, what is this prophet who walks in the marketplaces, he eats and he drinks? You know, this is to show the human nature of the prophets, the human nature that we can relate to, that maybe through our lives that maybe we have some suffering, or we don't have children, or we want righteous children, or we want to rectify them by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we want wealth, or whatever we want, all those supplications that we've listed inside the Quran, or some of them. That this is the way of the human being. Just like the way of the prophets that had certain needs, certain wants, and if we can use the word certain desires in its correct meaning that they carried inside their lives. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا إِنَّمْ لَيَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. We didn't send any of the prophets before you except for that they used to walk in the marketplace, they used to eat and drink. They used to live a normal life. That's what we find in certain narrations, find an-nikah min sunnati, even though ulama of hadith made a critique of this, but the meaning in general is sound. That nikah, to get married, is a sunnah of the prophets. Sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we find the most authentic hadith speaking about that journey of three men who decided, one decided to pray all night, one decided to fast every single day, another one said to stay away from having matrimonial relationship or getting married. So when the Prophet, he came home and he heard about this, he heard, because that's where you find that some of us become overzealous. This is the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, what is the matter with these people? I stand in the night prayer, I pray and I break my prayer. I rest. I fast and I break my fast. I have moments that I don't. Sometimes you find certain narrations that as if he never fasted. As Aisha, she narrates our mother. Long gaps of not even fasting. And he said, I marry women and I live with women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah has got nothing to do with me. Because what we find in the Western world that we find, that it's over going towards the extreme of monasticism, of living life like a monk. After their shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala and their trinity, you find this is the main cause that people turn away from religion, because it's corruption. It doesn't allow the human being to live as a human being, because it's abnormal. Because rahbaniyah, we never wrote it down. Quran says, we never prescribe a path of monasticism to be written down upon believers, upon Muslims, to live their life inside their manner. This is what they invented themselves to think that they come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the natural format of the human being is to live a life, a normal life of a human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every single human being. And the intent of the asl al-nikah that we find that fuqaha they speak about, amongst a list of so many different things that may apply even living in this Western world, or specifically living in the Western world, the essence is to have righteous children, a righteous progeny. Amongst that, hifzul farj, to preserve and protect yourself from the sicknesses and illnesses in that society that we're surrounded by the temptations. That's all there on the list. But the prime goal is to have righteous children. That's the dua of here that we find in Zakariya alayhi salam, that he wants. He wants a righteous child to inherit from him, to carry on the legacy. That's why Yahya alayhi salam continues the legacy of his father, of prophet, of Nabuwah. That's why you find that Dawood or Suleiman continues the legacy of his father Dawood, continues the legacy of prophethood. Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yusuf and his brothers, all carrying the legacy of their father Yaqub, of their grandfather. That's what they're doing. That's why they wanted to carry out this sunnah of all the prophets inside their lives. And as we find that this Surah Al-Furqan that we find, the 25th chapter of the Quran, here we find this is the 74th verse, a Meccan surah, which has 77 verses. The Surah Al-Furqan is a surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this surah. Blessed be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent down upon his servant this Quran, Al-Furqan, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا, to be a warning to the whole of the worlds. Only a few occasions in the Quran, Allah uses the word Al-Furqan to speak about the Quran. When I spoke about in the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, speaking about the Torah, wal-Injil, wa-anzal al-Furqan. And we sent down the Furqan, the criterion, the distinction between haq wal-batil. The established, that's the Quran, Al-Furqan. that Allah sent it down. That's what Allah towards the end of the surah speaks about. Wa ibadur rahman. Who are these servants of the Furqan, of the criterion of the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are the characteristics of the people who are awliya of ar-Rahman. That's what Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah wrote this famous book, speaking about the difference between awliya ar-Rahman wa awliya ash-Shaytan. Al-Furqan bayna awliya ar-Rahman wa awliya ash-Shaytan. The difference between the friends of ar-Rahman and the friends of the devil. Who they are, what are the characteristics of those believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find Allah mentioned, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. To give us this ishara as we began with, upon his servant. Allah didn't say prophet or messenger to show that his concept of being a human being at certain moments. And some ulama say that the highest rank, the highest title you can give is a title of ubudiyyah, is a title of worship. Guess what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? He gives it to Nuh alayhi salam. That he kana abdan shakura. He was a grateful servant. Dawood as well, grateful servants they were of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the greatest title that can be given. One who is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inside these ibadur rahman, towards the end that we find, you find some 7 times. Once you find Alladina, then you find 6 times. Walladina yaqulun. Walladina yaqulun rabbana hablana. 6 different supplications, different instances are mentioned towards the end of Surah Al-Furqan. This is also rare inside the Quran. Whenever you find a cluster of verses, Allah's repeating something. Pay attention inside Surah Al-Rum. Wamin ayatihi, wamin ayatihi, wamin ayatihi. 6 times together that you find, and the 7th time in the following 2 or 3 pages or so. Pay attention to that. It shows a uniqueness. That Allah is speaking about something, we need to pay attention towards that. That who are these ibadur rahman that Allah is praising these individuals again and again? What are their sifat? What are their characteristics? What's their behavior? Because you know, everybody asks this question, that how can I become a good Muslim? Shall I give you a simple answer? Just read the Quran. Just read the Quran. That's how simple it is. You don't need some long textbooks to read inside your life. Just read the Quran every single day. Just ponder over the Quran, reflect over the Quran, read the verses of the Quran. That's what Ibn Taymiyyah used to say, that if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to you, then read the Quran. And if you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand up inside prayer. And even when you're standing in prayer, what are you speaking? What are you uttering? What are you saying? You're saying the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His words. With the words that He prescribed, the words that He sent down. Tughatibullah, you're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that these ayat, Rabbana, until eventually we come to Allah, bestow upon us righteous progeny or righteous spouses. But before that, the journey begins before that. Ad-dunya mata'un. Wa khayrul mata'i al-mar'atu saliha. This world is a lush green world of many ornaments, many beautiful things. Many lovely things on this earth. But the best thing that you could take inside this earth, whilst living upon this dunya, is mar'atu saliha, is a righteous woman. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Tunkahul mar'a li arba'. A woman is married for 4 things. Is married either for her beauty, her lineage, or her wealth. That's what a woman is married for. Or she's married li diniha, or she's married for her religion. Hadith continues, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Marry the woman of deen. Your hands will always be blessed. Always goodness. Imam Nawawi begins to speak about this hadith. What does this hadith mean? He said, these are the other 3 reasons that most people marry for. Some people try to interpret and say, there's nothing wrong with having a beautiful wife or woman with lineage, etc. That's a secondary discussion. But Imam Nawawi highlights the essence is what? To search for deen. Search for piety, righteousness is the beginning of the journey of righteous children. To find that inside our lives that we find. That's why some narrations, ni'mud awna al-deen al-mar'a saliha. Even his ahadith are questionable. The thing that will aid one's religion, one's conviction or one's journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be a righteous wife who will aid and help that individual inside that journey. Imam Qurtubi highlights inside this verse,
that the main intent of this verse is asking for children. Rabbana hablana, oh Allah, bestow, gift us. Give us children. Children are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why inside the Quran, Allah mentioned, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَحَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَحَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who owns the heavens and the earth. Gives to whomever He wants, He gives them daughters. He gives them sons. And whoever He wants, He gives them both sons and daughters. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا. He leaves whomever He wants barren, with no children. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah begins the verse speaking about what? Gives whomever He wants. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. He mentions what? وَالْكَمَالِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Daughters. That's why the Quran is strange. We don't understand the language of the Quran. We don't understand why every verse or every word is placed in a certain context. The ulama begin to dissect it. They write volumes of works just to understand just a one passage, one verse. Why does Allah begin by daughters? Why didn't He say sons and then daughters? Because there's a sir inside that. Because the practice of certain people, what they carried out inside their lives. Even to this day that we find that cultural practices. Look at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What do you say? Whoever raises two daughters, three daughters, raises them well, dresses them well, looks after them well. Me and this individual will be like this in paradise. You know, we think paths of paradise are certain paths. This is our biggest default inside our lives. There's many average, normal people who do good things inside their life. Many normal people do good things inside their life. But we've codified this is an image of a good, righteous person. The Prophet, I'm saying, whoever raises them, brings them up well, will be like this with the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Look at his behavior, his etiquettes. When his own daughter Fatima would come in, what would he do? He'd stand up for her, kiss her on her forehead, clean the floor for her. Quraysh were taken aback that what kind of behavior is this? What kind of behavior is this? We don't have this in our culture and our people. But that's the man of love he showed to his daughter. Immense love that he had for her. If not all the women inside his life, the immense love he had for them is unquestionable, it's remarkable that being this supreme, elite, powerful man and leader, yet he has so much emotional feeling and love towards the most closest people around him. That's sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that some of us have forgotten. That's a sunnah that many of us have forgotten, and many average people, they live that sunnah. They have that. They have a care for the people around them. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. When a female child will be asked, why have I been killed? بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Those are some of the mufassirin begin to speak about it. Some of the people had this practice. And when some people try to attribute to Umar al-Khattab, it's not correct. Because mufassirin mentioned that Umar al-Khattab was from a tribe that was noble and well known. Their tribe never buried daughters alive. Their tribe never done that. Other tribes or segments may have done that inside their lives. Some of them done this evil practice that they would bury their daughters alive. بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. And depict this inside your mind, this image that we're going to stay with. For what sin were you killed? This child will make this proclamation, day of judgment. بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For what sin was I killed? What did I do wrong inside my life? I'm buried underneath this rubble. Buried underneath this rubble, just like they threw sand on them. Buried underneath this rubble. Why am I here? What have I done? What sin have I carried out? What sin have 7,000 plus children done to be under the rubble? What have they done inside their lives? بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. That's the holy surah, Surah Taqweer, is speaking about Akhirah. The presentation of Akhirah will happen on that day. When then people asked and the record we brought out, people were asked about the actions they carried out upon this dunya, what they carried out. And that's why these people, why they're bushira ahadahum bil-untha, when they were given glad tidings of a daughter, even some cultures today, they frown upon it. They don't know what to do, full of shame. What should we do? Should we destroy the child? أَمْ يَدُسُّوا فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ Or should we just throw it into the ground, into the earth, and throw the earth upon it? How evil these people they are. And a strange thing about a verse like this is like Surah An-Nahl, the 16th chapter Surah of Ni'am, of blessings. Blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to the human being. And as we find, as we mentioned, that the intent, تَزَوُّجُ الْوَدُودُ الْوَلُودُ Marry the loving and the fertile. فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ الْأُمَمِ Marry the loving and fertile women. Because I want to increase, compete with the rest of the prophets on the day of judgment in my ummah. The hadith authenticated by Shaykh Nasruddin al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi. So this is the intent of the human being. As we mentioned, if you read the Quran is explicit in how it describes the nature of the human being. When Allah speaks about, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّ شِئْتُمْ Verse 223, Surah Al-Baqarah, go and read the tafsir. Read the tafsir of this verse, how it describes the human nature, the human practice, what a human being should carry out inside their lives. It's there inside the Quran. The Quran isn't shy. The Quran doesn't shy away from these topics. It's addressing these topics. Mufassirin speak about that. This is what the life of a human being is. What is allowed and not allowed for a human being to carry out inside their lives. And the intent being, as we mentioned, to plant the seed in the tilth, in the land. Look at the language of the Quran. فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّ شِئْتُمْ Come to the plowing field to plant your seeds. The farmer plants the seeds with the intent to have a righteous plant, a vegetation. It's not as we began with what this society is full of. Their lust and their desires, that's it's all about. Even among some Muslims as well, they need to be advised strongly. The amount of cases that we have to deal with on a day in and day out basis. That people are just marrying for lust, for desires. You know, they have one individual, I share with you bluntly, was married for one day. Married for 15 years inside his life, decided to get married and came the following day. And said, I want to divorce this woman. How dare you? How dare you as a human being, as a man who's practicing your faith, 15 years having children to a certain age, to treat another person this manner and to argue that it's a sunnah which is allowed. It's a sunnah which is allowed, which has conditions and practices and respect and behavior. That literally after the following day, searching for an imam to dissolve this marriage. This is our community. And this is rife in our community. Don't be surprised. We can unveil so many things as imams that things are presented to us. It shows the corruption inside our society. Corruption of understanding the essence of what a family unit is. What it means to be a family. What it means to nurture a family. And as we find Allah mentioned here, speak about the dhurriyatina from our progeny, our children. We want to have these righteous children. And you find some of the ulama, Ibn Kathir, mentions in his tafsir that we want these children to be from our wives and our spouses, that they become those individuals to come from them, from the aslabim, righteous progeny comes out upon the face of this earth that begin to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't associate any partners with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ja'alakum min anfusikum azwaja. Allah has made for amongst your own self, your spouses. Wa ja'ala lakum min azwajikum banina wa hafadatan. Allah has made from your spouses sons and from your sons to grandsons and granddaughters, grandchildren. Once again, inside Surah An-Nahl, Surah An-Ni'am. These are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's bestowed upon every single human being? Then we come to Qurratu A'yun, the coolness of our eyes. That we want our progeny, our children to be the coolness of our eyes. Al-Malu wal بَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا You know, that's what a person longs for, is wealth and children. Obviously, their intent at that time was something else, to show their power and their might of the children that they have. That's why even going back to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, Surah Al-Kawthar was sent down. What did they say about the Prophet? They said, you're abtar. مَا إِنْدَكَ بَنِينَ You don't have no sons. There's deficiency within you. So Allah sent this shortest surah of the Qur'an, and the most powerful surah of the Quran. That they're complaining about this. Inna atayna al-kawthar. We've given you al-kawthar. out of the reference to the river inside paradise, or much goodness is given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِيَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. This individual is going to be forgotten who makes these accusations. He's cut off. As for you, that you remain the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they had this feeling that they want someone to carry on the genealogy, the tribal leadership that they have, which isn't something wrong about that. But that's a need that every person wants inside their life, this beautification of the dunya that we find. But ulama tafsir, like Imam Tabari mentions, the ask of righteous children, ru'yatum ala ta'atik, to see that your children are upon righteousness in the akhirah, to see them, to meet your children once again, they've been righteous children. And inside this dunya, that surur, that happiness enters into your heart, into your mind. As ulama said, it's kinaya and it's surur. Qurratu ayn, coolness of your eyes, carries the meaning of its happiness, contentment inside your heart that you find. Another mufassirin, he mentions Ibn Arabi inside his ahkam. He highlights that it carries qurratu ayn means sukunun nafs, contentment of the soul. Contentment. So Imam Razi inside his tafsir, he mentions not contentment of the soul of things of the world, whether they have money, they have property, whether they have a good life. These are external things that somebody can be worried about them as parents. But Imam Razi says that the most deepest worry that a parent has inside their life is their religious spirituality. That's the deepest worry. He wants to see his children upon righteousness. That's the deeper worry he has within himself. And as we find that there's nothing more beloved, it's about Ibn Kathir and Imam Suyuti, both of them mentioned this. Nothing more beloved to the human being except for to see their son, their daughter, or their children's children, or their brothers, or their family members, or their good friends, to see them obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That gives them peace. That's priceless. That gives them happiness. That's why some of the ulama, they mentioned that it's qurratu ayn min al-qur. Qur means al-bard, means ice, cool. You find this coolness, happiness, contentment inside your life to seeing your children, seeing your family members in a state of ta'a. So asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us children, a progeny which is qurratu a'yun, coolness for our eyes. And as we find that, as we mentioned, that the Quran is unique in certain words or certain kalimat it uses inside the Quran to impress upon the individual. That's why look at those few rare occasions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the coolness of the eyes, which is mentioned inside the Quran. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Inside Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, speaking about the paradise for these individuals, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for these individuals, a coolness for their eyes, that when they enter into paradise, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, reward, recompense for what they used to carry out inside their lives. You know, it's a hard struggle inside this dunya. We don't shy away from the fact that people think it's easy to get to paradise. It is very difficult. It will be difficult. You have to persevere. You have to be patient. You have to carry on trying. Every time you climb the mountain, you may fall. You carry on climbing. That's what a believer does. A believer doesn't lose hope, doesn't give up. Because even one day, even heading towards the top of that mountain, your life may be taken. But you're on that journey to Allah. That's what Allah sees, that you're on that journey to me. You're on that journey just like Musa alayhi salam. Allah called Musa, said, come. When he saw the light, saw the fire, he said, I'm going there to that light. He didn't know he was going to meet Allah. He just made that journey, made that struggle. He got to the top of the mountain and he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this dunya, we're never going to meet Allah. It's inside al-akhirah, but that struggle of climbing that mountain will continue. And you don't know which environment, which bi'a, which environment that Allah can place the coolness of the eyes. Inside Surah Al-Qasas, Allah mentioned, قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ لِي وَلَكَ. When they found Musa alayhi salam inside his basket, look where he flows. Just read the story of Musa alayhi salam, that Fir'aun is going and slaying and killing the boys. Killing them. His advisors said, don't do that, just leave them 1 year. Let them live 1 year so we can have them to be, for them to be our slaves, our servants. Just like you find in Palestine at the moment, the plantation and the cultivation of land, they use the Palestinian people. Don't slay and kill all of them. We still need them to be our servants, to come through the barriers, to come there and work for us. And then we send them back across again. These 18-foot walls, send them back across again. Controlling life, death, controlling people, what they eat, what they drink. Prior to this, I had a checklist about the level of food that can be entered into Gaza. Controlling the calories, how much food can go inside there. Controlling it. Not to give them too much richness. So Musa alayhi salam travels all the way back in the basket, comes right outside the door of Fir'aun. Comes outside his door. The same Musa that he wants to kill, he doesn't know it, comes outside there. Comes in the house. The wife Asiya, she's barrenless, she doesn't have children. When she sees Musa, she falls in love with him. This is going to be the coolness of my eyes and coolness for you. Fir'aun rejects it. But you know, he had some compassion. Because as a human being, as we began, we had that feeling that my wife is barrenless. Let her keep the child. He had some, the key word, compassion. Compassion, let her keep the child. Compassion. You know, he never liked Musa as he grew up. Because he could see the sifat of who Musa alayhi salam was. But that's why you don't know where a child, where a journey could be, where a person can be, where it could lead a person in the return. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned towards it in the end, that we find, or return, is staying with the concept of a child, of losing a child. When Musa's mother lost her, she found this emptiness, this cavity inside her. Thus we find this very strange hadith, which is relevant to us today. In this hadith, it mentions that mata waladun li abdin. When a servant's child passes away, قال الله سبحانه وتعالى عز وجل says لملائكته, he says to his angels, قبضتم ولد عبدي, you took the life, you took the life of the of our servant's child, you took him, فيقولون نعم, said yes we did, we've been instructed to carry out these instructions, فيقول قبضتم ثمرة فؤادي, you took the soul of his heart. You took the most beloved part of his heart. You took it away from him. They said, yes, we did. فَيَقُولَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَاذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي? What did my servant say? What did my servant say when I took the most beloved thing, to took his son, his child away from him? This is what he said. فَيَقُولُونَ The angels, this is what we heard him saying. حَمِدَكَ وَاسْتَرْجَعَ He praised you and he said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ That's what he said. Depict that. I'm sure you can all picture that elderly man holding his granddaughter. Previously mentioned before, it was his daughter, but his granddaughter inside his hands. Picture that. As you continue narration of this hadith, he praised Allah and he said, to Allah we belong and to Allah that we return. Allah says, build a house for him in Jannah. فَسَمُّهُ بَيْتَ الْحَمْدِ And call it the house of praise. Build it for this individual, this normal individual. Inside paradise. And that's what we find. That statement he made. What was the statement he made? That's running all around, trending all around the world. The soul of my soul. The soul of my soul. What does that statement mean, the soul of my soul? You know what soul of my soul means? When a part of you that you love is taken away from you. Something you love dearly is taken away from you. And as humans, every single human being will have something that's loved to them taken away from them. Amma waliduhu, either their father or their mother or their brother or their sister or their wife or their son or their daughter. And to face your own son or your daughter inside your life is the highest level of losing your soul. Because no father ever expects that his children would die before him. He expects to leave and then afterwards they may pass away. But when you have to visualize that, and as a grandfather, visualize your own granddaughter as a carrier, and to make that statement, you can understand what this hadith is speaking about. Of humanity that many of us lost, no matter what race, what color, what creed, what religion. All of us as human beings have that compassion, have that love towards those things around us. And especially children, it's a natural love that's placed there. And it's not just soul of our soul that we find, it's many souls that are being lost on a daily basis for us. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا And make amongst these children to be leaders, pious leaders. Read the tafsir, it speaks about who are a'imma, who are leaders. People of ilm, of taqwa. people of piety, righteousness, good actions. Ta'thir bil qawli wal fi'li. They have an action via their speech and their words. And their actions is visible of how they conduct themselves. Rather than speak about other things. That's what we need to understand inside our lives, what we're living in the world that we live in. And the hardship, the trials and tribulations that we find. And as we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, that to make leaders amongst us, that's what we pray. We don't know amongst our children. Who amongst our children could become leaders who are going to come after us, that we pray and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in conclusion that we find as we began with, that marriage is a normal biological life. Many times we mention it's a normal biological process and life as human beings that we live. And we preach and we abide by that inside our lives. And secondly, if you want to have children, I find whatever child is given to you is precious. We shouldn't fall into this trap that we find. That maybe only sons are good or only daughters are good that we find. Even inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Imran, going back to the story of Zakaria, when the mother of Maryam, when she's highlighted, fi batni muharrara, I want to liberate what the child I'm carrying inside my womb to make it serve the masjid, because she had the impression inside her mind, I'm going to deliver to a son. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا, when she gave birth to it, it was a daughter. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَ وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ. She gave birth to a daughter. Allah knows what you've given birth to. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَ, and the male is not like the female. But Maryam became the pinnacle point of worship, a role model that she became. That's when Zakaria saw her and the fruits and the gifts being given to her. قَالَ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا. He said, where did you get these blessings from? Standing there praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakaria is a prophet. He sees her doing these actions of ibadah. It inspires him. هُنَالِكَ دَعَ زَكَرِيَا رَبَّهُ. That's when Zakaria stood up and he made this dua. Give me righteous progeny. You've given Maryam. You've bestowed her. She's been born. She's been given this gift. It's been given to of Maryam alayhi salam. Why can't I have a child and I'm barren? That's how he made that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seeking children, as we mentioned, the world tries to instill inside our society, in our mind, that don't have children. Have 1.2 children. It's burdensome. It's difficult. You can't afford it. What does the Quran say? وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشَّةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Don't kill your children. Inside Surah Al-Isra, a long list of prohibitions. Don't kill your children out of fear of poverty. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We're going to take care of them and we're going to take care of you. إِنَّ قَتْلُمْ كَانَ خِطْءًا كَبِيرًا. To kill them is a grave sin. And inside Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah, Allah mentions the opposite. That's why Quran is unique. Once again, Surah Al-An'am, Surah of Tawheed, of commandments and prohibitions. Allah inside that surah mentions, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Allah switches it around. We're going to provide for you and them. So whichever angle you fear poverty, don't fear whether you fear poverty for your own self, we will take care of you. You fear poverty for children, we'll take care of them. That's what Allah mentions in the Quran, speaking about the blessings of the children, even you don't know which of your children. Ayum akrabu naf'a. Which of them is going to be more beneficial to you? You don't know that. You don't know which of them is going to be beneficial to you inside your lives. That's what we pray and we conclude. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, give us children who are righteous. Because the children are the future of this Muslim ummah. Just like you find that these thousands that they've killed and they've slayed, they know fully well what they're doing. To slay and to kill that next generation. Half of the population of Gaza is under the age of young children. 50% of these people. That's why they're attacking them. Attacking the children, because they know that these children, what are you going to instill inside their minds? You're going to instill inside their mind that these are the people who took our land, who took our property, who killed my father, who killed my mother, who killed my grandparents, who made me an orphan, who took everything away from us. And so some of them, when you speak to these children, what do they say? When you ask them a simple question, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? What's the response? I'll never grow up. I don't know if I've ever grown up in my life. I don't know that. So their dreams are shattered. Their lives are shattered. They have nothing to dream about. Nothing to live about.
that one day I'll become a doctor, I'll become an imam, I'll become a person, I'll become this, I'll become that, I could do this, I could do that. I'm not going to grow up. I'm not going to grow up in my life. I won't be given the opportunity to grow up inside my life. So as we mentioned, that that's the least we should have inside our hearts of sympathy and compassion. What's taking place to instill that inside society, what they call about a human world of humanity, that they care about humans. Where is the care for humans? Where is the care for children? Where is that care? Where is that compassion? Is what we profess and we claim every single day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings and hardships of these children, these people, what they're going through.